kind of like what I'm talking about today, talking about volunteers and how cool all that stuff is. But before I do that, Matthew Lee, stand up. Please stand up. Please stand up. Fellas, go there, please. Gentlemen, start your engines. Thank you. Thank you so much. Ronnie Lee and Matt Lee. Ronnie, you can stand up too, sorry. I didn't see you there for a second. Anyway, these two guys, Dad died this week, right here in Haltom City. And Matthew, you've been, the reason Ronnie, you haven't seen Ronnie here is he actually lives in Waco right now. Let's do this. Ronnie and Matthew, stand out here so these guys can lay their hands upon you. I know it's been a tough road for these guys, and the reason I'm doing this for you is because I want you to understand that there's more than just your dad that was in your life, that you have other men who can help you walk through all this kind of stuff. So I just want to pray. Father, I just lift Matthew and Ronnie up to you today. And I just pray that somehow where there's been complete no understanding that you bring a little. I pray in those areas where there's been turmoil in their hearts that you'll bring that peace that you says passes that understanding. And Lord, I just ask you that they both sense and understand and know that the kingdom of God is here for them. And that these men that are praying with them are there for them. And I just thank you for that. Amen. Amen. Sorry. Not sorry. Sorry, not sorry. You ever said that? Sorry, not sorry. So today I want to talk to you about gifts, parts, and fruit. Everything that Gabe was talking about our volunteers, really has to do with the fruit that's growing in their lives, not their skills or giftings in their ability to cook food for children or build a wonderful stage for VBS. That's crazy. Yeah, it really is. Anyway, so let's start with the scripture. This is really important, this fruit of the Spirit thing. You know, we've been talking about sanctification and justification. But the Holy Spirit produces, just those words right there, those five words. But the Holy Spirit produces. See, because we can't fake it. We can't fake what the Holy Spirit produces. We can't fake love. That's why I love little children. Because they're going to be really honest with you. You know what I'm saying? Because they don't have any guile. They don't have any agenda. They're just very honest. I think I've shared the story when my son was small. We had, I had a guy that came and spoke at our church that was born without any arms and legs and very uncomfortable with adults. But children were just so... My son, little bitty son, walks up to him and goes, "Where's your arms and your legs?" Well, we would never do that as adults, right? But there was no... And so once he was gone, I asked the guy, I said, "He didn't offend you, did he?" He goes, "Oh, no, no, not him. It's when the adults just look at you weird." Children, so I don't, so what I was going to say is I love it when children come up and love me because they know that that's love. I love it when I'm in a grocery store and gaze in the grocery store and a child, which you can't do nowadays, you know, will like stretch their arms out to you to hold them. Like, you know, and their parents are looking at you, and I don't blame me. But anyway, so it's the Holy Spirit that produces this kind of fruit in our life. Love, joy, peace, patience. We all know these, right? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things, there's no law. But here's what I want you to see today. The fruits of the Spirit are crucial because sanctification deals with our character. It deals with who we are, not what we do. And so the Apostle Paul really had a grip on this, and he was dealing with the Corinthian church, and the Corinthian church was a mess. You know, they were a mess. They had They had a guy sleeping with his stepmom. He was just a mess. But let me just stay right here. So it's not who we are, it's what we do. So character, sanctification, by the way, is character, is who we are. Sanctification, character, deals directly with our integrity. In fact, it's who we are when the light's not shining on us. You understand that? When people aren't, well, let's just use me as an example. It's who I am when I'm not speaking to y'all. That's what character is. So our integrity shows God and other people what's really inside of us. And guys, let's be honest, man. Over the years, you've seen people's lives that kind of fall apart. Whether that's, you know, for me, because I had, you know, I was a minister. You watch people fail. You watch Jimmy Swaggart and the Jim Bakers and that type of thing fail. And it's like, man, I thought they were this and I thought they were that. But I want to help you today, because the truth is, it really is about what fruit is grown in us. So the gifts, watch this, the gifts are given from the Holy Spirit, but they're given to us. Fruit from the Holy Spirit is grown in us. Paul explained it to Corinthians. The gifts are to give help. The gifts are to help other people. But the fruits are grown to change us. And in changing us, it flows through us into other folks. So I'm fixing to show you the scripture. So Paul's given instructions in 1 Corinthians, all the chapters, chapter 11, he's talking about the instructions on communion, because they didn't get that right. They were just meeting, going, getting together and getting drunk and supposed to be having communion. And he gives instructions on order in the church and stuff. And then he comes into chapter 12 and he says, and let me answer the question that you have about spiritual abilities that God has given you. And he says all that. So I said all that to give you preface to this. So here we're in chapter the 12th chapter of 1. He says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. So to one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. If you study that out in the original language, it's basically to give wise advice. It literally means to help people with common sense, because common sense ain't common. You know what I'm saying? So to give wise advice, and to another, the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, gives a message of special knowledge, which is actually, that word is incorporated in basically understand, even it can even be used in the word, you know, teaching somebody math or whatever. Gives special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. In other words, the Holy Spirit implants in someone, somewhere, that when someone is losing hope, they have the ability. You ever had that happen to you? Man, I have. Well, here, let me give you a great example. Can I use Carl as a great example today? Is that all right? I'm going to give you a great example. I didn't even share this with you. That prayer you emailed, that little short prayer that didn't have anything really holy in it, it's printed and sitting on my desk, because every single point, all three of your points, were directly to me. I had no hope. But your faith, that gifting that God has given you of faith, which is going to incorporate in your healing, by the way, that rose up. That's a fruit, sir. It's a gift, but it came through the fruit of your love, because if you hadn't loved me, you never would have sent that to me, right? Okay, there you go. That wasn't in my notes, so there you go. Let's stay right here. Verse 9, the same Spirit, great faith, and another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the... Now, here's what's interesting. Notice, by the way, that first word, gift, is the same word as the gift that where it talks about the gift of healing. Because that's a wonderful word. You all know the word. You just didn't know you know the Greek word. Are you ready what the Greek word is? Charisma. And you know what it means? It means a gift of grace. It means a gift that is given without, for no reason. In other words, a birthday gift is not a gift of grace, because, you know, it's your birthday, I got to get you something. A gift of grace is giving something when it's not your birthday, not an occasion. But that's what that word means, charisma, just so you know. It means a gift of grace. So what in the beginning, where it says a spiritual gift, the Holy Spirit is gifting to us that do not deserve it. You get it? So this gift of healing is that gift of grace. That has to flow out of the fruit of the Spirit too. Why? Because if we don't love somebody, we don't really pray honestly for them. Do you get it? So the Spirit, the gift of healing, and he gives one person the power to perform miracles. That miracles, that's not really the word actually that should be there, because the word there is dunamis. Dunamis, the same thing where the word says that the Holy Spirit power came down. That's what that word means, power. So it means the working of power. Oh, that incorporates miracles, don't get me wrong, but there's, you get what I'm saying, there's just a bigger picture here. Because sometimes a miracle is just a kind word to somebody, right? But again, incorporating in those gifts is going to flow out of who you are in Jesus. So the gifts of healing, one of the gifts of power of miracles, and to another the ability to prophesy. Prophesy can be future events. Prophesy can be to encourage and strengthen others. And prophesying, by the way, can be, if you wanted to throw the hammer down, not on somebody, but on something. In other words, a bigger issue. Anyway, we won't get into all that. Let's go to the next scripture. So he gives someone else, other than you, the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. That is so cool when that works through the power of love. Because if it works through the power of love, and you discern something that is wrong, and somebody else might discern something's right, you don't correct somebody. You get it. You just pray through it. Because prayer, what my wife said, is very important in that. Now watch. So discern a message from the Spirit of God, from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages. Let me stop right there, that this particular area is different than the infilling of the Holy Spirit that happened on the day of Pentecost. This is this literally means the ability to interpret a language, an unknown language, like a normal language, okay? So so some people get that, because I don't have that. I know a little Spanish, but that's it. While another is given the ability to interpret what was said. I don't want to get away. Let me stay on this. It is the one and only Spirit, Holy Spirit, Pneuma, who distributes all these gifts. And he alone decides which gift each person gets. It's that simple, but watch. The Holy Spirit gives these gifts, and these gifts are absolutely painless. They're given to help others. Do you see that? Not to help yourself, but to help others. So fruit, the fruit bearing, is painful. It's painful for the believer. Oh, here, I'll give you a scripture just so you can know it's true. This is Jesus was speaking in John 1. This is actually the very first verse of it. He says, I'm the true vine. My Father's the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. And he prunes, by the way, the deep meaning of the word prunes is prune. He prunes it. It means to cut off limbs that are dead, basically. They're not working. And he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. So when we are walking in light, listen, I went through fruit inspection this week with myself. I do that on occasion because it's not important to me to be right. It's important to me to have fruit. It really is. And so I went through this whole fruit inspection this week, and this is kind of how I actually found this whole message because of Jeremiah 17, which I'll share at the end. But so let me get back onto this. This whole pruning process, a lot of times I feel like we think the Lord is punishing us when he's actually pruning us, because he has this wonderful ability to help us, and as long as we're in that vine, we can recognize that he's not punishing us. There's just something in us that needs to change. Okay, so okay, I finished that. All right, here we go. So Paul shares this whole thing about the gifts and stuff, but what I love about this is there's a reason behind everything that he's doing, even all the way up from the first chapter to this. Because again, he's been giving instructions to the Corinthian church on how things need to function. Then he gets, well, let me answer that question you have about spiritual ability, because they really wanted to know about spiritual ability, because spiritual ability was important to them. You get what I'm saying? So he says, okay, here's where it's at, because I'm sure, and the reason I'm sure is because the people he were writing to are people, regular people. And I can't tell you the times I've listened to conversations that people are deciding on who's got what gift in them, and can't you have more than one, and just stuff is kind of trivial. So Paul keeps on going. So he moves from the gifts to the parts. And in fact, right after he finishes right there, he goes into there's many parts in the body of Christ. Some of you will remember this if you've read the Word. And he talks about, you know, the eye's not the foot, and the foot can't say the eye, we don't need you, and all this. So he's talking about the unity of a body in individual parts, right? So he says all that, and then he gets to this point, which is the next part of this whole thing. Here are some of the parts that God has appointed to the church. Now notice, the Holy Spirit gifted the gifts, if you will, but God imparts, he appoints, and that word there literally means set into place. He sets into place for the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. I just want to stop there because I really studied that out because I wanted to know if it was really meant, if it was first, second, and third, and it is. I can't remember the words, but so... The reason I say that is because I've been in situations there too where people have decided on who needs to be what. So for the church, first apostles, which what the apostles were, obviously we know who the apostles were in the Bible, and then second are prophets, and again, that goes back to the prophetic thing. The third are teachers, and that literally means the ability to teach. And then those who do works of power, same word as the other in miracles, and those who have the gift of healing. These are, now notice this, you have the gifts of the Spirit, but they're incorporated in the parts. So the gifts are incorporated in the parts, and the gift of healing, and who can help others, and those who have a gift of leadership. That leadership actually means administration. It has to do with the ability to administer government-wise is what that means. And then those who speak in unknown languages. Verse 29, here's the point Paul is making. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power of miracles or doing powerful works? I think it keeps going, doesn't it? Yeah. Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in an unknown language? Do we all have the ability to interpret an unknown language? Of course not, he says. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts, but now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. Which, by the way, does everybody know what a hyperbole is? Hyperbole would be like, you haven't cleaned your room in a million years. Well, truth is they haven't cleaned their room. The exaggeration is in a million years. Or I'm starving to death. You might be hungry, but you're not dying. That's what a hyperbole is. In English, it's a exaggeration of the thing. In the original language, it's spelled identically with our language, but it's pronounced differently. But the truth is, what Paul was saying is, let me show you a way of life that is over the top, the absolute, no doubt, best way. And then he moves into chapter 13 of Corinthians, where he talks about, that's what we all call the love chapter. Here's what I want us to see this. Here's what has happened to us in our lives. Some people confuse gifts and parts with fruit. And again, this goes back to when someone that we have a high respect for or someone that, I mean, have you never been shocked when somebody's life fell apart? Because I sure have. But it's because I was looking at giftings and parts and I wasn't seeing the fruit. Do you get it? So gifts in parts, here's the bottom line. Gifts of the Spirit, parts appointed by the Spirit, can lead to pride because somehow we take on whatever it is that we somehow, it's me, it's us, it's who I am. But fruit is humility. Fruit, that's kind of like fruit, it's just his brother. Y'all are just really quiet and dead today, but that's okay. I'm all right with it. I can do this. So again, the parts can lead to pride, but fruit really, if we get that fruit of love, which is incorporated, all of the fruits incorporated with humility. Why? Because once again, it just like what the gifts are supposed to be for, is to help other people. You get that? The gifts, that's what he said, the gifts are to help other people. Not me, not, has got nothing to do with me, but to help other people. So watch this though, fruit bearing is love expressed, and it's relationship with Jesus, and I'm going to show you in Scripture what I'm talking about, and fruit bearing glorifies God, not me. Do you hear it? And again, let me talk about the word glory, because some of us have been church so long, we just, you know, well, glory, glory. The word glory is very important because it means it raises the level of reputation in other people's eyes concerning God. It raises who he is, how important he is to other people. You get it. That's what glorifying God means. So if I'm to glorify God, to raise his standard, not his standard, to raise the opinion of him higher than others have had in the past, if I'm to show people how great he is and how awesome he is, if I'm going to glorify him, that's going to come through the fruits in my life, not the gifts or the part that I play. I have a part, and I just want you to know, talking about that whole pride thing, back in the day, I used to meet with a pastor's thing, and we were supposed to be meeting for prayer. I might have put this in my book, I don't know. But anyway, we were supposed to be meeting for prayer, and I went 5 weeks in a row before I said a word, man. And all five times they were discussing on the parts. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher, the apostle is number one, so he's more important. They didn't say it that way. Then there's this and there's that and there's this and there's that. And so the whole time I'm confused. Number one, I really did want to go to pray. Number two is I don't care. I have one of those, I'm sure, on my life that God has appointed me to. But that's not the issue because it's not my appointment, it's his. And so pride can set in to where we get to where we think we're all that in a bag of chips. That does not glorify God. Our whole purpose on this earth should be to glorify God. Amen. And when I say glorify God, I want you to understand the meaning of it. To make other people see him bigger than they've ever seen him. To have other people have the opinion of him better than they've ever had an opinion of him. Because the truth is, for years we've painted God in a light that he's trying to kill us, when the truth is he simply loves us. Amen. You get it? I want to glorify him with my life, but the only way my glorification for him is going to happen is through the fruits of the Spirit, because in the fruits of the Spirit, that ain't even about me no more, because the fruits of the Spirit are given so that other people. So when you see somebody fail and you can't understand why they fail, because love is really about other people, not you. Goodness is really about other people, not you. The bottom line is, and I'm getting to my last point, but I'll probably get back to it, is this. If we really want sanctification, and when I say sanctification, remember that's the Jesus in us working out of us. You have justification, us in Jesus. You have sanctification, Jesus in us and working out of us. If that's really what we want, then we have to die to self. If that's really what we want, because listen, I'm at the point in my life where I don't want to play games anymore. And you know the real truth is too? Guys, social media has made most all of us, and I'll leave myself in there, so self-conscious that we're no longer Jesus conscious. And if you're not Jesus conscious, you certainly won't be fruit growing conscious, right? So, okay, I did that one. Oh, I said that one. Oh, I said that one. I'm talking to myself. I got stuck on glorify to God because I could stand here all day and talk about that part. Because if I can make him look bigger, not me look bigger, but him look bigger to other people. And the other people go, man, God must be real. Then there goes that glorifying, and God looks up there and smiles down at us. Let's look at the scripture I was talking about. There's three of them, actually, little short ones. So, Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you, and I appointed you to go produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for, using my name. So this is my command. Love each other. And love each other ain't a pat on the back, ladies and gentlemen. Those of you who have children, you know a different kind of love than people who don't have children. You get it. And here's what's so funny. Those of you who have dogs, and mostly dogs, cats don't count. Well, I mean, cats don't count. Come on. What I mean by that is, okay, here's the difference. If I don't have any animals right now, but if I had a cat and a dog that was at my house, and they see me coming home, who's running to me? Thank you. What's the cat doing? Where's my food? Where's my food? Scratch my belly. I might purr for you. I might not. You know what I'm saying? But people, and it's true, and you can even see this in the first responders. In fact, on the Texas Task Force, I just finished a training Wednesday for them, and there's a canines there. And listen, that's family to them. That is family. And I get it, but here's what I love about it. And here's why I think dogs become so attached to us. Dogs, to a lot of people, are God. And what I mean by that, I don't mean that they worship it. What I'm saying is that dog never changes, no matter what mood you're in. You could be screaming at the dog, and that dog tail could be just doing this. And it makes you madder at him, right? Or you could be devastated, and that dog's over there. That dog is always there for you. That dog doesn't talk back to you, yay. And then when he does talk back to you, it's not in the language you understand, yay. And anyway, so that's neither here nor there. So, love each other. Look at the next verse. This is huge. 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 There you go. Then the way you let, by the way, stop where it says then the way up above it. Paul was talking about, I've been praying for you to have spiritual wisdom and to have knowledge. I've been praying for you to have some giftings in your life, basically. So that's what he had just shared. So that when he says, after he was talking about praying for them, he says, then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. That is what I'm talking about in relationship. There is an intimate relationship that you can have in Jesus if you will take the time to spend with him to get there. It's there, it's available, and it's powerful. You want power in your life? It's powerful because it's in him where all of this stuff happens. It's impossible to grow fruit from a tree that's planted outside of the vineyard. You get what I'm saying? And the vineyard's not in the church building. The vineyard, if you've accepted Christ in your life, the vineyard is in you, right? So, we get to know him better and better than that. The last scripture here, right here. So when you produce much fruit, you're my true disciples. And this brings great glory to my Father. Because what's the difference? The difference is when you really love somebody right where they're at, when you really love, When you love somebody or are kind to somebody or are good to somebody or have patience with somebody long enough, somebody's going to look at you and go, that dude's weird, man. Or that girl, she, you know, I pushed every button I knew to push on her, and it didn't work. There must be something to this God, she says, that she serves. Whose opinion just went up? God's. So, I'm at my conclusion, boys and girls, and I know you're happy about that. In a nutshell, this is where I start. I actually started in verse, I didn't put verse 10 down, where it talks about God's looks in to change the heart. It says, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and their confidence. They're like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat. I looked up that word heat because I wanted to know what it meant, and it means hot. Seriously, it just says hot. So they're not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. This is me when I have a prayer that hasn't been answered when it needs to be answered, in my opinion. God's promises are true. The timing of His promises are nowhere to be found, right? But His promises are true. So such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Wow. So, I want to give you one of the greatest scenarios, and this really is my conclusion right here, one of the greatest scenarios that you can find in Scripture concerning this. And it's the story when Christ was, it was at the Last Supper. He's going to be dying in about 12 hours. He knows that. Nobody else still has a clue. I mean, He's told them straight up, but they still don't get it. And the Bible says that, before you get to this part of it, the Bible says that the devil had already got into Judas. So in other words, Judas was ready to go and betray Jesus, sitting there with the 12. And they did the supper. And then Jesus, they did the supper. And then Jesus washed their feet. In fact, the word says, because Jesus was so confident in who God was in Him, which He was God, I get it, but He still was human. But because He knew He had completed everything up to this point, it says that he covered Himself and He washed the feet of the disciple. And of course, this is where Peter said, "Oh, you can't wash my feet." And he said, "Well, then you can't have nothing to do with me." "Well, then wash all of me." Peter was so extreme. "You can't? Okay, then wash it all." There was no in between. You know what I'm saying? That's fun. But anyway, so He did that. So here's the scripture where we jump in at. So after washing their feet, He put His robe on again, and He sat down and He asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? Now watch this. You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that's what I am. You see the gifts in me. In fact, you even see the part of the kingdom that I'm at. So Lord, and you're right, because that's what I am." And He says, "And since I, your Lord and teacher, and since I, the guy with the gifts and the guy with the parts, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I've given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you." So here this is, his greatest act this side of heaven, or his last act, I should say, this side of heaven, or the last act before the cross, if you want to count the breakfast with Peter and the disciples, a different one. But what I'm saying is it was very important. It obviously was very important for this to happen. So, So He says, "Do you know what I am doing? Giving you an example to follow." So in wanting to give the example to follow, what first we need to understand is the fruit that is in our life are not the leaves. if you have an orange tree and a plum tree, and all you see are the leaves, it's going to be hard for you to tell them apart. But buddy, once the fruit comes, right, you'll be able to see that. But listen to this, though. The gifts and the parts are leaves of the good root. They're planted in the good root. Those who are in Jesus, they're in the good root. And so I'm not downplaying gifts and parts. They are in the good root, but they are not fruit. Right? So the bottom line is sanctification, just like justification, is about him and not me and not you. So let me get back to Jesus here, where he just showed all of that. You know who I am. Yeah, you call me teacher, you call me rabbi, but I got an example that I want you to follow. And so my thought was, an example? He didn't speak deep wisdom to them. He didn't heal anybody or raise the dead. He didn't do a children's camp or a youth camp. He didn't sing a solo on the worship team. He didn't do anything like that. All he did was wash 24 dirty feet, two of which were the guy that was fixing to betray him. That's love. And I close with this, and Alan Raff, is he here? Is he back there counting money or whatever? Well, I'm going to use him as an example. I'm only using Alan as an example. I have other examples I could use, but Alan's a good example. So y'all just tell him that I threw him under the bus during the service because he wasn't in here. Sorry, I'm just now starting my water. Alan Raff might not be a great public speaker. I wrote down singer. I don't know if I ever heard him sing, so he might can sing and he's hiding it. I don't know. Don't know if he's a great Bible teacher. Don't know where he fits in the parts and the gifts. A lot of people I don't know where they fit in the parts and the gifts, but here's what I do know. I do know that Alan goes out of his way to pick people up for church that can't come because they don't have a vehicle. I know that one particular example, talking about taking care of the widows, he poured his life into someone here who had been devastated by a separation from her husband, and he ministered life into that area. I know that. I know the times that he's visited nursing homes and hospitals. And he did all that without anybody knowing. I just exposed him. His love fruit has far surpassed his gifts or his part. He has simply washed the feet of those in need. Those volunteers Gay talked about, those people who work out in the Leah Van Zandt Community Life Center, Monday setting up, Tuesdays giving out, picking up groceries and all this stuff. During the summertime, the heater's awesome. During the wintertime, that air conditioner works like a charm. You get what I'm saying? There's nothing back there. Nothing back there. But they go back there and they serve. I could go on for days of those who are more concerned about God getting glorified rather than, again, I have this vivid picture. Some of them were pastors, some of them weren't, some of them were evangelists, guest speaker, whatever. I have that picture still in my mind. That's been, good night, 15 years ago, of just arguing over who it fits in where. And I look at that, and then I think of these kids that come and these people that serve, and they serve and they serve, and it's not out of their own, they're bringing glory to the Father. That's really what I want. I want the fruit to be so evident in my life that outside of this pulpit, when it's dark as can be, I can still allow the Lord to grow those things in me. Amen. I just want Him to be glorified. And I am getting to where I really kind of understand that I don't, that only comes in me getting outside of who I am and loving people I don't want to love, giving goodness and kindness and mercy to people that maybe don't deserve it, and other people, it doesn't matter. Once again, it's all about Him. Justification, it's all about Him. Ain't nothing I can do to change anything that He's done for me. And if I stay in that, I am declared righteous. Sanctification. I thought it was about me having to do something. You know what it's about me doing? It's about me being so entuned into the vine that fruit can grow up and out of me, and the fruit only is produced by the Holy Spirit in me, not me. My part is, I have to die to me. I have to die to me. And that's what my desire is. So you, when y'all leave today, you can say, man, he talked about dying.
Everyone, would you just stand with me this morning? In all things, it's always good to pray all glory to God. God, you get the glory out of this. And He will. And He will. Two things I want to share with you. First of all, I think there are a lot of people who think, well, I've blown it. You know, it's too late for me. Look how old I am, or look how long I've known the Lord. And I don't see me doing any of those things. It's your faithfulness that other people don't see, but that He sees, that He will reward you for, and that the enemy comes against you to tell you what you didn't do. And we will not give any credibility or confidence to the enemy telling us what we've got wrong. We're going to believe what God says that Jesus got right for us. That doesn't mean that I don't want to change and be more like Him. That's the reason I want to change, not the reason to paralyze me, which is the enemy's. That's his tactic. Goal. But what I want you to know today is this. Everybody in here has fruit they produced. Everybody. But some of you think, well, that was a long time ago. Man, I used to feel so useful. I can't do that anymore. And I'm just going to tell a story on Nelda Metter. Nelda worries so much about what she can't do anymore because of the pain that she's in her body and the condition of her spine. But I'll tell you what Nelda does. The fruit that she had when she felt so vivacious and alive and could go and do all these things for women's ministry, the enemy wants her to feel guilty because she can't do that now. But that fruit had a season. So while it's true that I don't know about God's timing, I can tell you there's a scripture that tells you what it is. And it says, in due season.
Yep.
He didn't give it to me when it's going to rot. He didn't give it to me when it's not ready to bring life and it's bitter. He gives it to you when it's ready to produce something life-giving. And we think about those times. But there's a seed that happened in that time with Nelda at those ladies' events or at this altar praying with you. And the Bible said unless the seed falls into the ground, unless it dies, the fruit has to die so that the seed can fall into the ground, go back where it started from, and reproduce life in someone else. And every seed that she planted where the enemy's telling her that fruit's behind you, that seed is now coming to life in some of you in this room.
Yeah.
But the enemy doesn't want you to see that. But here's the beauty. She's in pain the other morning, and the Lord wakes her up early. I don't think Nelda's an early riser. Thank you, Steve. But she said the Lord woke her up, and she's still in obedience to the Holy Spirit, got up and started praying for you and for me. And the word that came forth, and many of you got it, because we know we need to be praying. Are you getting it? We need to be praying, really. And she said, I started praying, and so I know that we're hearing the same spirit. And it was a confirmation to her, because it's the same tree. It's just a different form of fruit. She's still producing fruit. And this is what I want you to see, where the enemy's told you, oh, you used to do that, you don't do that. Find where the fruit is in your life now. Water it, nurture it, let it bring life to someone else. Because some of you in this room, and I'll raise my hand, needed that prayer that morning. That's what an intercessor does. We need intercessors, people who believe for one another, who'll hope for one another, and who have confidence in the Lord. And that's every one of you in this room. Every one of us have that calling on our life. So I'd like for you just to join me right now in a prayer. Father, we just ask you to go into those places in our heart, Lord. If there are places, God, where we have been condemned by the enemy for what we don't do, or the things that we do, we don't do them well enough, or right, or more beautiful. God, we don't want to hear that. We tune into your voice that says, my sheep know my voice. And God, today we've heard your call, Lord, to glorify you. God, in all things, we want to lift your reputation. We want to show others that our weaknesses are confirmation of your strength, and that our trials are confirmation of your goodness and your faithfulness. And God, that our sickness is proof of your healing and your divine power. And God, that our sin and our failure is proof of your love, God, that you will never leave us and you will never forsake us. And God, we want to stand in agreement with you today for the things, Lord, that are weak about us, that will quantify, qualify, and prove that you are God over all. Today, God, be glorified in our nation. Bless all leaders, God, to know and experience you through others in a way that you get the glory. God, love on and bless and protect those, Lord, who've lost their way, and help them, God, by your love to find and connect with the vine, the true thing that brings life. That's you. And God, for those in this room today, I pray that for weak, shallow roots, God, that are having trouble with things that bother them or things that worry them, that instead of the pain, God, causing us to uproot, the pain will root us deeper, Lord, into who you are, God, in the deep, dark places where we cannot be shaken on the outside because we're standing firm on the inside in you. I claim that for my life. I claim it, Lord, today. I want you to claim it over your life today, God. Let the pain produce fruit in my life. And I thank you for that, Father, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. Amen.